town you never heard of.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk.
Right. Podcast for the people, by the people.
Oh, it's a question again.
It's questionable. It goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're the people, sometimes we're not.
Right, right.
Sometimes, when are we not?
I mean, normally I feel like we're the people, but sometimes I feel like we're the exception. It feels like some of the stuff we talk about, right. It's like, why do people not understand this?
A little wild, yeah, a little out there, weird, I guess. Yeah.
Let's kick this off today, giving a quick shout out to our friends over at Barn Owl.
Oh, we're doing this first.
BarnOwl.tech.
Mixing it up.
Mm-hmm. If you are looking for some surveillance cameras, game cams, any type of camera system, wireless, that you would like to use outside at your property, at your home, at your farm, at your ranch, to watch your herd, to do whatever you want to do with it, really.
Do you think anybody ever puts this in their house?
You could.
You know what I mean? Like, just monitor the kids so you could take a nap, or...
You could use it as, like, the baby monitor.
Yeah. It's just a random thought.
Yeah, that is
I mean, I could see Andy doing that.
That's a beefed up baby monitor right there.
Would Andy do that or Ashley do that? Who would do that first?
That'd be more on Ashley. I was even against the baby monitor. I'm like, let them sleep. Why do we got to have a camera on them? I just felt like I know they're just infants.
It was creepy.
It is creepy. And you're also raising them to be like, hey, there's an eye in the sky always watching you. I didn't like it.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
But I wasn't going to argue. You know, that's one where Ashley's going to win that argument. So pick your battles, I guess.
So let's not put it in the house. Yeah. It's probably not for that, but outside.
I like it on the house, on the driveway.
Yeah.
And I know it's not their big thing, but we love them as trail cameras, you know, with that.
Yeah.
They work really
You're
well.
You're getting updates all the time. We're seeing my deer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw one had a broken antler already. Broken pedestal.
Really? Yeah,
they're in velvet right now, you know?
Yeah.
And it looked like one is going to have to regrow, or you're just going to have a one-antlered buck out there.
Dang. So.
Is that bad if I took one out that just had one antler?
No.
I mean, aren't we supposed to take them out if they have one antler?
Well, I mean, it depends.
Oh, okay. So that's controversial.
You want them to be an old, mature buck, but it doesn't.
It'll grow.
Yeah.
Do you guys think we could get back on track?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
It's always deer season.
So, barnowl.tech. So, the cameras. So, wireless cams. We're using it to monitor our lane coming up on the property. And we also have one set down in the woods where we do a lot of hunting. So, getting a lot of feedback there. What's cool about the area down where we're hunting is it's in the bottoms. It's around the creek. These are cellular connected. My cell phone does not work down there.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I'm in the blind, I can't be playing around on Instagram or whatever the heck's going on, but the Barn Owl camera gets the photos out of there and to my phone.
Yeah.
So their connectivity works well. They're both, you can add solar power to them if you want. That's what we're running. The camera's been up 6 months and it's at 99% battery.
What's wild is that canopy grew over that panel, but you're still at 99% power.
It's still picking up enough. Yeah. So super cool systems. If you're looking for something for your own use, check them out at barnowl.tech. At checkout, you can use the code FARMFOCUSED, all one word, FOCUSED is how you spell the end of that. And you get 10% off.
And they're give them a shout. Veterans.
Veteran-owned. The best way to support our show is to support folks like this. So if you're considering it, go on there and check it out.
Support those that support you.
That's right. That's right. And then also, we need to get more of those reviews, man. We got to get some people on the Apple and the Spotify and all the things and do the reviews, check the stars, type a little something.
You know, it's probably a good problem, but we always get good reviews.
Yeah.
You know, five-star, I like this, or I agree with that. But I feel like somebody's holding back. Like, somebody didn't agree with something I said.
Really?
Like, give me the negative, too. Yeah. I want to hear the other side.
Oh, see, I feel like if no one's saying anything, that I'm taking it as a positive. Like, we're killing it.
Yeah, well, I think we have some polite listeners.
Oh, they just don't want to be controversial or what?
Well, yeah, you know, it's not fun.
Whatever.
You know, posting things.
Right. There's always two sides. Right?
Yeah. All right.
So, here we are. It's Friday. The week's finishing out. Still got 4 days of work left to do, but it's the last day of the week.
Yep. Oh.
Yep.
What?
We do?
I do. I don't know about you. You might be just cruising.
I'm leaving today early.
Figures.
I'm not.
So, Andy's got us a guest this week. What's going on over here, Andy?
Yeah, so we got Riley Pletka. She is a graduated senior from Plattsmith High School. And, I mean, you're a four-year starter, right, in volleyball?
Yeah, volleyball.
You're a middle blocker. So, you know, my wife coached volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember 4 years ago, she was going back and forth with her assistant coaches, and she's like, I got these two freshmen. I think they have to start. They're too good. They fill a void.
Nice.
They got length. They know what they're doing. You know, we got to work with them, but I can't get around this. We got to start these two freshmen.
Okay.
And Riley, here's a fun little story I've never told anybody.
Oh.
So I always make the year-end, like, highlight video that they play at the awards banquet for you guys, you know? Yeah. And so I'll go to two or three games and bring my camera and try and get all different angles and shots and this and that. And the issue I always had with Riley was she was making all the plays. And I'm trying to, like, be judicious and, you know, make sure I get everybody's highlights in there. But Riley was always making the kill, making the block. I'm like, I already got her, like, seven times on this highlight reel.
You know, give someone else a chance. Riley, come on.
So, yeah, that was a common theme over the 4 years of making that highlight reel for your team. So I guess it's an issue I won't have to face anymore. So
nice.
That's a good problem to have.
Right?
So, yeah, cool. Welcome to the podcast, Riley. Let me get a little bit of a timeline. When did you graduate?
This previous May.
Okay. So you're freshly out of high school.
Yes.
And before you came in, she's working this summer, a lot of people.
So sure.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you doing for work? Just keeping yourself busy?
I'm a server at Council Bluffs Country Club.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are good jobs at the golf courses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's good seasonal stuff and pick up a little cash.
Yeah.
Get those tips rolling in.
For sure. So folks in Nebraska might know the area. Folks outside of don't. But we'll kind of touch on that real quick. You go to Plattsmith, which is south of Omaha, just a little ways. Did you spend all 4 years there?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yep.
And is that where you went elementary and middle school and everything as well?
I went to a Catholic school in Omaha, St. Mary and Paul, until fifth grade. I transferred here for middle school.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does your family live in the Plattsmouth area, or were you living up in the Omaha area?
My grandparents and the rest of my family lives in Omaha, but we've been living in Buck Bay since I was born.
Gotcha. Okay.
So close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Buck Bay is a suburb, you could say, of Plattsmouth.
Yep.
And Plattsmouth is a Class B, so our second largest, you know, denomination of classes as far as schools go. So what was your graduating class, about 100?
110,
15. Okay.
15. Yeah.
That's good size. Yeah.
It's a smaller size in Class B.
Is
it? What's Plattsmouth population, like 6,000, something like that?
Somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
And cool. I think when we were in college, it was closer to 9,000.
Was it?
Yeah.
So I didn't know that.
It's kind of all the other towns around Omaha are growing.
Yeah.
I don't know what's with Plattsmouth kind of going the other way on some.
I kind of feel like I can tell like the age of a community based on the number of rescue calls that they have. And
what? Do explain.
Being on the
aging population has more calls.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah.
Being on the department, we hear the whole county, so we hear Plattsmouth.
Yeah.
And I mean, they are nonstop. Go all day.
Oh, because older people need help.
Typically, the calls are for older folks.
Gotcha.
Unless it's some kind of trauma, like a broken bone or an accident or something. But
yeah, car wreck. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the thing that we had to deal with this year in baseball. One of our coaches was an EMT for Plattsmouth, and man, he was, can't make the game. Oh, can't make the practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got filled in there on that. But Riley was one of these athletes and students at Plattsmouth that was heavily involved in everything. And what's the award where you led her all 4 years in three sports?
Nice.
Yes. I just got that. It's sitting in my room right now, too. I think it's like, the word starts with a P, but.
Oh, it's called something.
Yeah, like for Lynch, it was called the Eagle Award. I was an Eagle Award.
Ooh,
you're an Eagle.
Should we clap?
No big deal.
No big deal. Whatever, you guys. But Riley's pretty interesting in that regard, too, because Your freshman year was basketball, mm-hmm. and then was it sophomore year you went out for wrestling?
Yes, and then I sticked with wrestling until senior year, yeah.
And we had this conversation mm-hmm. a couple of years ago where you're like, you know, we're going back, is wrestling a girl sport? Is it not? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. It's really gaining a lot of steam, too.
It really mm-hmm. is on a national level, not just in Nebraska and Iowa. But, like, I think of it like in boys sports, your football coach loves it when the offensive and defensive linemen wrestle during the off season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Ashley straight up said that your footwork, your defense, back row defense got so much better after wrestling. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So I think that wrestling, it was a little uncomfortable at first. but I think what really helped was that there were four of us going out my sophomore year, and we were all very new to it. So we were kind of getting to know this new sport together, and with that we got more comfortable with just working harder and like putting our body through a lot of work. So I think just throwing my body on the volleyball court just came a little bit more naturally, because wrestling tournaments and just going all through like through all that stuff that first year was pretty tough, and so I just got a little bit more comfortable with it, I guess.
Made you tougher.
Definitely.
The big thing that, like, basketball coaches and baseball coaches talk about with wrestlers, especially football coaches, is their balance and footwork is so mm-hmm. much better. Did that happen with your experience as well?
Like, I think so, yeah.
You felt like your balance got a little bit better? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
And was that the first year Plattsmouth did it, your sophomore year, girls wrestling?
They've had previous girl wrestlers, state champion Zoe Barber from Omaha Westside. She started out at Plattsmouth, and she was the first girl to win state for Plattsmouth, so she's up on that in that banner in the weight room.
Yep.
But she transferred to Westside, but it wasn't until my junior year that they had a separate, or was it this year? It wasn't until like my senior year, junior year, that they had separate coaching and singlets and everything.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
so you were wrestling with the boys.
Yeah, so we shared weight room, and then it wasn't until this year that we split off. And we had like 2 weeks of morning practice, so we can have like our own time and like the whole weight room to ourselves, instead of like a third of there's two mats in the weight room. I don't know if you've been in there, but we would have like a third of one of the mats. So we just have like a small section, and there's like 30 boys wrestling with us. And it was my sophomore year. Orion Parker and Elijah Michael were wrestling, and me and Raquel Meneses were somehow like all the way across the room that we normally wrestle at, and I just see both of them wrestling, like just running towards us, and they trip over us. I thought we were going to get killed or something. Like, just, wrestling next to those heavyweights was a little stressful, but it was definitely, it benefited us a lot by having our own time and working with what we needed to work on. So.
Yeah. Well, and it probably needed to happen when more kids went out, when more girls went out for it. Mm-hmm. So if it started off with four, that kind of doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I understand that, but.
Yeah.
And when did it get sanctioned by? Was that last year, the year before, by the NSAA, the Activities Commission?
It was like where girls only wrestle girls.
Yeah.
That was my sophomore year.
Okay.
So, yeah, as soon as I went out, that's when it was like, you can either wrestle just girls or just guys. Because I believe that in other states, there are like where girls will only wrestle guys. But
mm-hmm. Well, and I'm talking about where the state recognizes it as a real sport. Like six-man football for the longest time wasn't recognized by the commission until it got enough popularity and got enough steam, and like, all right, it's a sport. And I know that happened with girls wrestling, where it is an official sport now.
Yeah.
But because early on, you guys are just kind of floating, you know, you're part of the boys team. Were you not? Yeah. Like, what was it? Now it's a real thing.
I think, because it might have been still sophomore year when I went out, because or it might have been before. I'm not sure. But I know that when I went out, we had girls' state going on at the same time as boys, but we would have like four out of the, was there 10 mats or so? I'm pretty sure there's 10. But it wasn't until this year that we had our own days for state wrestling. So we had, I believe, Monday, Tuesday, and then the boys had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
I think they have 4 days.
So. It's a big event.
Like,
it shows you how quickly it's grown, how much in just that short amount of time. Yeah.
So do you have like your own coaching staff, or is it still the boys' coaches, then they come over and coach the girls too?
So my sophomore year, their assistant coach, Austin Lenhoff, was like the boys' assistant coach, but we kind of just kept him that whole year. And then it wasn't until, we got our own coaching staff. He became the girls' head coach. And then,
So,
we do have our own coaches, but we technically just stole a couple of theirs. But then they got some volunteer and some more assistant coaches for the boys. So
very good.
Yeah.
So you lettered in three sports, 4 years. That's in, in five different sports, then basketball, wrestling. I know volleyball.
Oh, yeah.
What was the other sport?
I did soccer in the spring for all 4 years.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, was it soccer or track? Okay. Yeah.
I almost went out for track my senior year, actually. Coach Rathman was really close to convincing me to go throw, but I had just bought new soccer cleats. I was like, well, might as well stick it out for all 4 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And Plattsmouth does have a pretty good track team, you know, year in and year out. They compete. There's a lot of kids that make the state tournament. So. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, those coaches, it's kind of funny watching them recruit against each other. There.
Oh, yeah.
Cherry pick.
I love the idea of the 12-sport, you know, athlete. When we were in high school, when we were, you know, years ago, it's 20 years ago now, 25 years ago, even in what was a bigger town in Bellevue, we had that, and you were able to pull that off. But it was really tough then because the coaches were, whatever sport you were in, were pushing you to do that every single, you know, all year round.
Yeah.
That particular sport.
Yeah.
And they were even encouraging you to pick that one, to make your pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see even in our little community that we're in here, you know, classes of 60 kids or whatever it is, a little bit of that starting to happen where some of the coaches are encouraging that, but the majority of them support do something different each season.
Yeah.
And I think it's huge. I think it's huge for the kids' development. You know, as Riley's pointed out, you know, some of the advantages it gave her in other sports because of the sport and what she was learning. So I think it's awesome. I love to hear that. I think a lot of people listening to this probably are in communities that have that opportunity. And if you don't, definitely encourage it. I think it's a big thing that we've lost.
You know, and you only have that short window. Like we're talking about how fast those 4 years went. Do it all. You know, take yourself higher. Challenge yourself. And you know, if you want to try wrestling, you know, versus something else, do it, you know?
Yeah.
I know Ashley was really excited when your junior year decided to go back out for wrestling. She's like, this is really good. So, so that was fun. What led to soccer though? I forgot that you were out for soccer.
I've actually been playing soccer since I was little. I think it was just kind of one of those sports where my mom put me in there to kind of develop some footwork and kind of explore some sport options. So,
All right.
With your, I mean, obviously you're an athlete and it's something that you focus on and you enjoy. When did that start? Like how did you come up? Is that something that your family was always into or did you just get into it or what was the situation?
So my parents met through like just sand volleyball and all these kind of sand leagues. And so, when I was little and they were still playing volleyball, they would kind of just take me along and I'd play in the sand while they were still playing. And, I think it's pretty common for like parents to put their kids in sports. So I think my mom just kind of, put me in volleyball, kind of knowing that's how they met. But, I would come to her for a couple of sports, like, hey, like I kind of want to try basketball. I think in like third grade, cause like my friends were doing it. It's like, well, might as well give it a try. But I mean, majority of my family aren't typically, like, athletes, but I think it kind of just stuck with me knowing, like, that's how my parents met through sports and stuff, and it really gives me a good work ethic everywhere for school and everything, so.
Do you have siblings, brothers, sisters?
Nope, I just have, the closest thing I have to siblings right now is four older cousins that live right next door, so they're kind of like my sisters, but get to go home to my own room in my own house every day, so.
Nice.
That's kind of nice there.
So coming up, being an athlete and doing those things, was it always, you had mentioned a little bit, obviously you started playing volleyball. What other things did you do when you were little, sports-wise?
I think it might have just been, volleyball and soccer because, okay. yeah, basketball mm. I didn't start until I was, like, in elementary school and then wrestling high school, but...
You never did dance or cheer? I feel like mm-hmm. all these little girls always wanted to do that, but not you.
Yeah, I don't think my mom was a fan of gymnastics.
We had a daughter that was not into
it, but she did it for one tiny season and hated it, but... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think my mom liked that too much. I mean, she's not, like, totally against it. She just didn't really feel like putting me in it, I guess, because I was already in, like, volleyball and soccer, so... Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a point, I don't know if it was in high school or prior to or whatever, where you were looking at the sports that you were playing and you were like, I want to take this further. Like, I want to take this beyond high school. Did that hit you at some point?
I think that was my goal for my first couple of years of high school, where I wanted to play volleyball in high school or in college. Mm-hmm. But I think there was a time where I was like, I think I might just be done. Like, I've been doing it for so long. Mm-hmm. Like, I might just be doing it for fun now, like leagues and stuff like my parents do, which we're in a sand league on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fun.
But I think there was just like one rough year. It was either in club or in school for me, but I was like, I don't really want to do this. But I think senior year rolled around and I had transferred to a new club because we just didn't have enough girls going out for my old club. And then I was like, I think I want to try this for college. Like, my mom always told me, like, there's going to be a school for me somewhere. I just got to find it and put in the work to apply for it and everything. And so I was planning on going to Southeast Community College because they just moved their volleyball team to Lincoln, so mm-hmm. it was 50 minutes away. My mom knew the coach and I'd gone to a couple of their games and got to know the girls over the summer, so I was like, yeah, I think I'm gonna come here for volleyball. It'd be really fun, kind of close. And mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was gonna do yet, so I was like, well, I can just get my gen eds out of the way and then maybe transfer somewhere like NAIA or somewhere kind of close for volleyball. So
is that what you decided on?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing now?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to do for a little bit until something kind of came out of nowhere.
Okay.
Kansas State had actually sent me, like, these letters or, like, questionnaire to, like, just fill out my personal information. And I had gotten it all 4 years of high school. But and I think, like, the first couple of years, I was like, oh, look at this, haha, like, for rowing. And so I was like, oh, kind of weird. Just kind of dismissed it for a couple of years. I think I'm... probably threw the first one in the trash or something. I'm not sure. Kind of jokey about it. I was like, oh, they want me for rowing. Like, oh, I'm going to be a D1 athlete for this. And then I think I got my junior year. I was like, you know what? Why not? I'll fill it out.
Yeah.
I was going to do the paper one, but thankfully there was a QR code because I didn't want to have to deal with mailing that back. But I think it took maybe like 2 minutes. It's just like my phone number and what sports I've done. And I thought it was a little funny that they asked if I could swim. It's like, yeah, I could swim. And then I sent it, did the QR code, and I think even just the next day, I was like, hey, this is so-and-so from Kansas State with the rowing team. Saw that you filled out this questionnaire, and we're interested in rowing. Like, is there a time that we could set up a call and talk to you? I was like,
sure. You're like, holy cow, this is quick.
Yeah, I was like, well, wouldn't hurt to call him back or anything. Mm-hmm. So I think I was at school during advisory when they first called. I was like, they were kind of just asking me questions about, oh, have you ever watched rowing or done rowing or do you even really know what it is? And just kind of asking me these questions about how much I knew about rowing. Mm-hmm. I was like, I know that there's like 8 or so many people in a boat and they each have an oar on one side. And then I think there's someone in the back like yelling at people called something. Because I think that was about when that movie Boys in the Boat was coming out.
Okay.
So I'd seen like previews about that. I was like, well, kind of just making stuff up as I go on. And then they were talking to me about it a little bit and teaching me some things. And then they were talking about if I was interested in making another phone call, like setting it up. And I was like, sure. Just like, yeah, I guess so. Like, didn't really think of it too much still. And then I think even just the next week or so, and that's when they brought up, like, well, would you be interested in coming down for, like, a visit or an unofficial visit or something just to, like, see the campus, the facilities, the team, the coaches? And I was like, wow, this is, like, I think later that day is, like, hey, I just got off the phone with so-and-so from K-State with the rowing team. Would you be down to go down to Manhattan and kind of just check this out? I think we just booked a hotel for one night and left that same day. Like, we only stayed down there for the day. And then I think as soon as as soon as we got done with that visit, there was like a rally house just down the street from our hotel. It's like, well, why don't we go stop at the rally house and just kind of look at some stuff. And I picked out like a sweatshirt and a hat, and my mom picked out some stuff. And usually, like, when we went to Southeast for a visit, she was like, well, if you're not gonna go here, like, just let's not buy anything yet and just kind of wait. So yeah. I think as soon as we got done with that unofficial visit, I think I just knew that I was gonna go there. After meeting the coaches, the facility, just walking the campus and everything, it was just kind of crazy how this just came up. And
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So you bought some Kansas State gear, and that was that.
Yeah.
That's when you knew it.
You were hooked.
The rally house.
You were hooked.
Yeah.
So what was the – rewind a little bit. How did that all come about? Like, why did Kansas State pick you?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
So, yeah. I think – so at the bottom of that questionnaire, it said, like, 5'9 and taller, athletic, and scholarships available. So I think they were just looking for taller athletes that are in multiple sports. And so I think when we're on the visit, mm-hmm. or one of the visits, because I eventually had my official visit later, they were asking, or my mom, I think, asked, like, oh, how do you find all these tall athletes or so? And I'm pretty sure one of them said that they go on, like, max preps or something similar, and they kind of just put in a filter that says, like, athletes that are 5'9 and taller. Mm-hmm. And so then that's how they get a hold of them. They, like, they find their school, and then they send those questionnaires or letters to them. I think one of my teachers got it somehow. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it went to the school or if it went to, like, the teacher's address or something.
Right.
So it's, like, it's a little weird, but they eventually brought it to me.
Talk real quick about, you mentioned something called max prep.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Because I think these things are important for people to know when they've got, you know, a student athlete.
Mm-hmm. So max preps, if... it kind of just gives.
It's a website database full of anything and everything that your coach or your coaching staff is willing to put out there. It yeah. really helps with recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are addicted to it. Grandparents love it because they can go on there and see how many points he scored. And a lot of times they'll actually have live stream of the game capabilities now.
Yeah.
Huddle is another big one.
Yeah.
And my understanding was Kansas State, like you said, put out a filter. And they're looking for multi-sport athletes of a certain build. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you've done rowing, but if you've played volleyball, if you've done wrestling, if you do soccer, we can work with that.
It's amazing when you think about it. I mean, so the point is that these are elective programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not something that you're just automatically in or whatever. You have to make some kind of effort to be a part of this, whether it's you or your coach or whatever, to get yourself out there, to get your stats out there, to get your information out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're having to take... You're having to put in effort, right, for your future.
Yeah.
Like, work on it. You're not just waiting for things to come to you. So folks need to be aware of these things. Because a lot of people think, like, oh, you know, my child just plays on the team, and eventually they might get noticed, and maybe they won't, whatever. But you have all these things that you need to do to set yourself up for success.
Right.
And I think most people would be thinking, like, okay, I'm doing this to get recruited for a volleyball team or whatever, the sport that you're in.
Right.
But it's a crazy story to hear that
yeah. –
you know, a completely different sport is surfing that database and trying to recruit kids. It's pretty
neat. I think it's brilliant. What else are they going to do? It's not like a ton of people row in high school.
No.
I don't even think that's a sport in high school, is it? Maybe in different states?
On the East Coast, I think there's quite a few that do that.
So maybe they recruit more from there, but they're wanting some more local, closer people. I think what they did in sending it out that way, whoever thought of that was brilliant. And obviously you took the bait, whatever it was, and just investigated it. Because how many things have we gotten for our girls, you know, in the mail that were like, eh, and you throw it away? So many people could have done that, or hopefully are hearing this and maybe won't. Like, so how tall are you?
So I told them I was 5'10", but really, if you go to the doctor's, it's like 5'9" and 5'8", but it's easier to say 5'10".
That's fine,
so.
With shoes,
you can
right?
Round, you can round that up.
Everyone always, you know, fibs a tiny bit.
Yeah,
I was 5'11", my senior year of high school, and I don't know what happened
after that. Right, just like I was 5'6", not even close. Well, that is so cool. That's an awesome story. So
did you go down there your junior year? Is that what you said?
I think the summer between junior and senior year. And then I took my, I think, official visit sometime in the fall in my senior year, because then I officially committed in this last November.
Okay, so then there's scholarships available.
Mm-hmm. So okay. Yeah, my baseline is 20%, and then even so, they redshirt all their freshmen. So even during my redshirt year, they can I can still build that up into some more.
Perfect. So,
wow, what a what a perfect way to do that too. Mm-hmm. You redshirt your freshmen, give them a year to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because you've never been on a crew team or rowing before.
Yeah.
And to your point, Morgan, like, these East Coast kids, they're going to stay with the Harvards, the Princetons, you know, those crew teams, they're hard to get in. And so Kansas State's not going to out-recruit that. So they had to get creative and figure out a way. Mm-hmm. And plus, you got plenty of phenomenal athletes here.
Right.
That if you can get them to, like you said, take the bait, you know.
Yeah.
I think you would have done just fine, too, if you would have went to Southeast and gone that route. Mm-hmm. You would have got picked up. These community colleges are really good at developing talent and getting you ready for that four-year school, you know, and it's a good way to go about it. But this is fun. This is different. And if you couldn't tell, I've been a big Riley fan for a while now. And you were touching on it, Ben. To me, this speaks to a couple of things that really solidify who you are. You're willing to take a risk, try something new, you know, go out for women's wrestling. You know, have a little bit of courage to that. But when you do something, you put your head down and you work hard. And in this case, you didn't know what you were working for or towards necessarily, but your work ethic helped you set the table for something out of left field.
Yeah.
And then you had the courage to answer the bell. You say, what are these wildcats down in Manhattan, the little apple? What are they talking about? You checked it out, and so far, so good. You know, and then they came around, offered you the scholarship.
Yeah.
I just think it's so cool how all these things will line up for you if you're willing to put in the work and have that little bit of courage.
Yes.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So what do they tell you in the summer? Like, go to Orange Theory or get a row machine? Like, that can't even be the same. Like, what do you do to practice?
Actually, they told us quite the opposite.
Okay,
they told
us, don't do that.
Yeah, don't get on a rowing machine. Don't try to learn, like, rowing on your own or anything. So if you learn any bad habits, you have to kind of work back just to, like, unlearn that and learn how to do it properly. But it is a spring sport. I did learn that on one of the phone calls.
I was thinking fall, but okay.
Yeah, and so I think because it's in the spring, they can't give us a specific workout plan for the summer, but they do, like, encourage that we work out on our own with weights if you're comfortable. If you're not comfortable with weights, you can do body weight exercises, but they really emphasized on core and cardio, because another thing that I learned is that a race is about 10 minutes long. Like, full, like, as hard as you can, 10 minutes. And yeah, and a wrestling match is typically 6, unless you go into overtime. I was like, well, if I can go out for wrestling, I think I can give this a shot and almost be good at it. So
you can push yourself 4 more minutes.
Yes. Anybody can do anything for 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So with rowing, is that like a – I just think, like, with arms, but – you use your legs too, don't you?
Yeah, I believe that they said it was about 70% legs, actually.
Wow.
But,
I wouldn't have guessed that.
But yeah, seeing some of these fifth year seniors, like, their lats and, like, just their backs are, like, just.
Oh, I bet
huge.
They're killer.
Yeah, it's they're insane. So
we do that, the dam race.
Mm hmm.
And got that kayak.
Let's compare that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that
kayak.
That's the first time I've ever kayaked. And, you know, you're obviously by yourself and you're like running that row or whatever you call the thing. And it is unbelievable how much you need your legs to do that. You don't think about it. But my brother-in-law was next to me. He's doing the whole thing. He gets a kayak that doesn't have, like, the leg braces in it. Like, they were broke out or something.
Yeah.
So he couldn't use his leg strength to do this. He was just doing all upper body.
Oh, that would have been hard to steer too, right?
Yeah, and it smoked him, but he did the whole triathlon, did an awesome job.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize how much of an advantage I had being able to just push my feet in that thing.
Then you have to time it, like you said, all 8. Oh my gosh, I don't know. There's just something about it that just, I remember watching it, like, in the Olympics or when they had, is so pretty and like everyone, like, timing, that'll be so cool. You should take a before picture before you go to college.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, every year, so then you're, like, can see how big you've gotten.
Yeah, my mom, that's what my mom jokes about. It's just, like, coming back, and I'm just, like, all muscular and everything. And then, then I can come back, like, during the winter or something and help the girls wrestling team for the high school.
Totally.
So.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So your high school career, you know, with sports and all that, did you ever have any major injuries?
No, actually, I think the closest thing I had to a pretty bad injury is that, it wasn't bad at all. It was just like during wrestling practice, I landed on one of my teammates' hips, like on my chest. So it had just like cracked my sternum a little bit. And it was kind of hard to breathe for about 5 minutes or so and hurt to talk. But I think I just took a day or two off, and then I was just back out on the mat.
No knees, ankles, shoulders, broken bones.
So that was something my mom was really scared about when I asked her about if I could go up for wrestling. She was like, you're going to get hurt or something. Like, just really scared that I was going to get injured, because, like, just even my first year, like, just watching the boys, like, there's all sorts of injuries that we saw.
Yeah.
This previous year, one of my teammates, she had dislocated a girl's elbow.
Ew.
And I think my mom knew the girl's parents too, so that wasn't.
Yeah.
But especially during, so I qualified for state this year for my senior year, and my mom was just really scared for like one of my last few matches. Like, oh, we've made it this far. We've made it 3 years. Please, like,
yeah,
just a couple more matches. Don't get hurt.
Yeah.
So
I think that's a testament to, you know, the fact of being all in all those different sports.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where a lot of athletes get injured, is where they're doing the same sport and the same movement over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's very fortunate that you didn't have anything like that. Do you feel like you were focused to the point where, you know, throughout your high school career, you were paying close attention to your diet and what you were doing outside of your sport and things like that, eating well and those kinds of things?
I think especially during wrestling season, I was watching what I was eating, because the whole weight class and everything.
Yep.
But I think for volleyball, I'm not sure too much. I don't think so. I mean, I wasn't like overeating or undereating. I think whatever my mom put on the table, like, she knew what I was going through and what I needed. So
I mean, you weren't hitting up Taco Bell every night? No,
not every night, but maybe like... Just once a week or so.
Yeah.
No, nothing bad at all.
You know, that's huge. When you're a teenager or younger and you can get away with that.
Do it now, girl. Because when you're in your 40s.
But there, you know, you mentioned a moment ago that kind of plays into why I've been a fan. I wasn't hurt too bad. It's just a cracked sternum. So it took a day off. You're like, what?
Yeah. In high school, outside of sports, were you able to find anything that you looked at that you said, this is kind of what I want to do when I get older? Like a career field or something that interests you a lot that you're kind of focusing on?
I didn't know what I was wanted to do until my second semester of senior year, actually. Okay. It wasn't until I took entrepreneurship and sports and entertainment marketing with Ms. Shuey.
All right.
So, yeah. So, for entrepreneurship, I really like that class. That's the class where we get to print all the shirts, and like, for the band or the cheer team and everything. But, so usually we use Canva to, like, make those designs and everything. Mm-hmm. And I would help Ms. Shuey by making, like, certain stuff for certain people. But I did it so much that she eventually just started forwarding people's emails to me. So then I would start doing it for her. And because it really took a load off her, for sure, because she was doing a lot. Because she had just picked up student council this year. And people were just kind of really liking what I was doing. So it really made me feel good about being able to do that for people within the school. And then I think eventually there were some people outside of the school, like Mrs. Harvey's oldest daughter.
Okay.
She just got married recently, so she asked Miss Shuey if she could make some cups or like I think it said like bridesmaids or bride on it or something. But I mean, I didn't design the cups, but I just thought it was kind of cool that like we're doing so well that people outside of the school were reaching out to us and
so like graphic design stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, I would kind of like what you see on Instagram where it says like game day or like student of the week for like certain teams and like either college sports or professional teams. Mm-hmm. And then I think I brought this up to somebody. That's what I want to do, is kind of that digital design. And someone told me about how the Minnesota Vikings have like an internship like that every year. And then if it's something I'm really interested in, they can get me in contact with their friend that's like the manager or something of that. So
nice. Look at you.
I think I might have to use that or remember that for the next couple of years when I'm going to need an internship or so.
And there's plenty of lakes in Minnesota to row on.
Oh, yeah.
So no problem there.
Yeah.
10,000.
Just 10,000 or so.
Yeah.
That's awesome that got you interested in that, gave you that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Do you have to declare a major yet? Or?
So I didn't really know what, like, I didn't realize what I wanted to do until the second semester. So yep. When I was applying to classes and picking my major, I put exploratory, but... which I'm technically still in right now, but I've been telling people, like, oh, I'm in sports news and media because that's the major that they would have for that at K-State. So I have to email my academic advisor and figure out how to switch that. But,
yeah,
that's what I'll be switching to.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, exciting. Like
it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And it's another thing where you took a different class with a different teacher, and it's like, okay, this is it. Mm-hmm. You know, I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's so big. And that... I don't know. It just does seem like you're just so open to hearing people and just taking in what the guidance they're giving you. Mm-hmm. And then you're kind of, I don't know, you're acting on it, I guess, is the point. And so with that internship, maybe, you know, it's action and you're action oriented.
Right.
Your follow through is huge. Mm-hmm. And that's what's leading you to all these opportunities.
Yeah. Because at first I wanted to be... like an athletic trainer of some sort, because just being involved in all these sports for so long, it was like, I wanted to be a part of it still, even if it, like, everybody's dream is to go play pro something when they're older. So I think once reality kind of hit me, I was like, well, don't know if I'll make it that far, but at least I could maybe still, like, work with a team like that or so and become an athletic trainer.
Yeah.
And then I think it's my junior year, I took chemistry and anatomy in the same year, like the same semester, so it was actually Klassen's idea. I was in her bio class and was like, I recommend taking chemistry and anatomy at the same time. I was like, okay, because anatomy was fun with Klassen, but chemistry was a whole different story. So I think
a little bit of math,
because you need both of those classes for like medical stuff or just athletic training. So I was like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. So the first semester of my senior year was kind of like, I don't know what to do. Like, I have to pick out classes now. And so I was like, well, just go business. Like, just take business classes and kind of just finish out with A's and everything. So, but then, that's when I found that class. I was like, I think this is what I want to do now.
Cool.
Makes sense.
That's very cool.
How much of your grades and your academic performance has played into what, you know, how K-State wanted you, like how much has that been part of your discussion?
I think it was still a big part of the discussion when recruiting, because when I went down there, they called rowing a smart girl sport.
Mm.
I think the whole team, like an average of their GPA is 3.5, or it had been one time, like a couple of times I've seen the post, and then I think it says like for the spring semester, it said like team average of GPA was like 3.7, and a lot of their, I think when we went down for my official visit, they had a presentation about like what student athletes or like students are getting like these academic awards, and I think they had maybe 5 on the board, and like 2 of them were from the rowing team, so they still have a high academic standard. So
well,
good.
Guilty by association. That's a good guilty by association.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, there's obviously a standard there, and that they're going to hold you to, which is a great thing about collegiate sports as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they expect their athletes to do certain things in the academic world. So,
and they'll provide you with all of the, you know,
And that's like a good
stuff at the college,
right?
Yeah.
And that's a good support structure too. Your team striving for good grades. You know, like you can't get better than that.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Cool story, man. I think there's a lot of folks out there with kids, you know, and the kids listening who are thinking about college sports and college and do we not, and will my kid have the opportunity? Is my kid good enough? You know, how does all this work? And this paints a great picture of, you know, just one student athlete and how she's made her way through and how it's all worked out, and it's pretty interesting.
And if something sparks your interest, give it a shot.
Explore it.
It doesn't hurt anything. Yeah. Yeah. You can go back out for wrestling or soccer, whatever, the next year. But yeah. if something comes up, you know, give it an honest look. Mm-hmm. And in your case, like, all these crazy different things came together and worked out perfectly. Like, how perfect is this? You know, I'm very happy for you, right?
Yeah, and they all worked out perfectly because of not just by chance.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because of the effort, you know, that you and your family have put in. Yeah. So folks need to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah.
You know. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's in order.
Yeah. Awesome.
And good luck. You'll have to check back in.
Oh, yeah.
When do you move? I know we're winding down, but you heading out in August?
Yes.
To
so
move in?
My original move-in day was August 20th.
Okay.
But I was like invited to fill out this form to go for a leadership summit. So I just applied for that yesterday. And so I'll be, if I get selected, I'll move in 3 days sooner. So August 17th is a Sunday. We'll go through like some leadership activities and like going over on campus jobs, like an RA or CA. And then we'll get like service hours for helping everyone else move on the 20th.
Wow. So. See, another thing. There you go.
Yeah.
There
so either go. The 20th or the 17th. So
exciting. Cool. Well, congratulations. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck.
Absolutely. Well, good to meet you, Riley. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for inviting me. It was
Absolutely.
Really fun.
Absolutely. Anything else, Andy?
No.
No. All right. Well,
all right.
You good?
Yep. Peace.
All right. Let's close it out. We'll
Later.
See you.